The first reading is 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 31, and you'll find that on page 1144 in your church Bibles. Christ, the wisdom and power of God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading today is taken from Proverbs. And it's verses 10 to 31. So, the wife of a noble character. A wife of a noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She then plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected in the city gate, where he takes his seat amongst the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh all the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instructions is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Ooh. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friends, please be seated once again. And turn back, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 31. That's where we'll be this morning. Welcome from me, by the way. If we've not met before, my name is Andy Brewerton. I'm the chaplain here. And it's great to see everyone this morning and to add my welcome to that of Sylvia, who's been leading us thus far. Oops. We are in this little series called The Whole Life, Whole of Life for Christ, and thinking about what it means to live for Jesus in every bit of all of us. And this little card has all the details of the talks going forward. We'll be doing this for a few more weeks as yet. Today we're thinking about whole life wisdom. Okay. We are the product of the choices that we make. That's a quote from this guy called Roger Crawford. He was a Paralympic sportsman. He was a tennis player. He's now a motivational speaker in the United States. And here's one of the ways he would motivate people, by telling them we are the product of the choices that we make. And it's a good point, isn't it? He makes a good point. He talks a lot of sense. How we are and who we are and how we relate to other people very often can be traced back to the choices that we have made along the way. And today we're thinking about wisdom, what it means to live God's way, the wise way in God's eyes. How should that wisdom sort of permeate right through all of us? How can I be wise, not just with a part of my life, but with all of my life? How can it sort of reach all those extremities? And as we were saying, often it comes down to the choices that we make along the way. Good choices can become God choices when the things that we decide to do are the things that God would have us do. And as I face a choice or a decision or think about something, what would God have me do here? What should I do? Now, that is the sort of the big story actually behind this book of Proverbs that is open in front of us. This morning, we come across these Proverbs in everyday life, don't we? These little pithy sayings, little nuggets of wisdom that the Lord has left for us. Now, we don't have time this morning to look through. We've got 31 chapters here. We're just sort of dropping in right at the end to this little pen portrait of Lady Wisdom. So this isn't an actual person he's writing about here. He's talking about what a wise person looks like in God's eyes. It's the epilogue of the book, the sort of closing chapter, and it's summing up all that's gone before. What does it look like to live a wise life? Well, here we are. Here's the first thought for this morning. Doing things for others before myself. Right from the off, we see this woman has a great reputation in the world around her. People know what she's like. They see in her qualities of life that they admire. People like what they see. Look with me, just flick through a few of these verses and we sort of get the gist of what's going on. So we read, first of all, verse 10, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And then verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And then verse 25, she's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. What a great summary of someone's life. Really positive, isn't it? What a, just a lovely picture. Here is someone with a strength of character, someone who knows who they are in the Lord, who's confident in that. Many attractive qualities here. And the result is someone, she's precious, says the writer. She's worth more than rubies. In the world of Proverbs, this beautiful woman, well, we'd say, well, she's a keeper for sure, isn't she? Find someone like that, you don't let her go. My goodness. Clothed with strength and dignity, generous to those inside and outside the family, sacrificial to her own. People call her blessed, and no wonder they call her blessed, because what a great life she is living. What a great example. But you see, this reputation, it doesn't come through her self-promotion. It doesn't come through this desire for self-improvement. You don't see her sort of flicking away on her iPhone, taking selfies all the day long so she can tell the world how great she is. That's not what she's like. If she were alive today, she's not living life through the iPhone lens of Instagram or wielding her influence on TikTok. That's not who she is. No, her character is being formed and shaped on the inside, because her focus is actually on other people. She wants others to be more than she is. It's a life of service, a life of sacrifice, serving others before she serves herself. It's very countercultural, isn't it? When the world says, no, you make much of you. You do your thing. You be you. And we take the selfies and we promote our own lives to the world. That's just how we are. The world says, look, it's perfectly okay to focus on you. You do your thing. And of course, you do that to the detriment of everyone else. It becomes a competition. Who is the most influential? Who is the greatest? Back home in France as well, the fitness industry here in France, I read up, is worth more than 4 billion euros a year. It's a lot of money, isn't it? 6,500 fitness clubs, 6 million gym memberships, people wanting to look their best so that when they take that amazing photo, the world sees them at their most polished, very best. Now, I'm not saying fitness is bad, of course it's not. But the world out there is saying, look, it's all about you. You make much of you. And the Bible says it's not like that. That is not how life is. It's about you doing things for others. Because the way to be wise is to switch the focus entirely around the other way, away from myself and towards those who I love. The Christian way is the way of service and sacrifice. As Jesus put it himself, to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow. And so the wise one is the one who's looking for ways to make life better for other people. How do we do that? We need to look for those opportunities, don't we? Asking ourselves, okay, what could I do today? What could I do this week, this month? What would be a blessing for someone else? Not looking to say, how can I bless myself this month? No. How could I bless someone else? What could I do for them? Not just practical things, but in the service of God, in the church family, spiritual things perhaps as well. Could we meet up with someone to encourage them? Could we go visit someone and share with them something of what we've been learning, perhaps through the Bible or our daily reading? Who needs a meal or a lift to the supermarket? Who needs help to get to the doctors or picking up a prescription? You see, there's so many different ways of helping others, isn't there? Serving them before we serve ourselves. And the Bible says, as they see someone like that, the Bible says, look, here's someone who's being wise. Here's someone who's living wise. If I want to live my whole of my life for Christ, I need to learn to serve. What else do we see here? Well, we're putting the work in before taking time to rest. There's a great line in a film that was around when our boys were small. It's a lot of years ago now, but Chicken Run, I don't know if you remember the film. Rocky the Rooster. There he was, trying to motivate all the other chickens to learn to fly. He had exercise classes for them. And he says to them, you see, ladies, flying takes three things. Hard work, perseverance, and hard work. And someone shouts out, "You said hard work twice." And he said, "That's because it takes twice as much hard work as perseverance." That's certainly one thing that can be said about the woman here in Proverbs. She knows how to keep herself busy for the Lord. How does she even find time to sleep? She's not afraid of hard work. Looking after the family, running her business, there's always so much to do. And again, let's just pick out a few verses to see how this works out. So verse 13, to begin with, she selects the wool and flax and makes work with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships, bringing food from afar. Verse 17, she sets out about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. Verse 22, she makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. And then verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. And then finally, verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. It's a great conclusion, isn't it? Well, you can say that again. This is someone who does not know what idle means. She's always on the go. And making cloth into garments, selling her wares, food for the family. It's all done with eager hands and eager heart. She does not eat the bread of idleness. And those things not only keep her busy, they make her wise. And again, it's so countercultural, isn't it? We spend hours and hours flicking through idly on our little phones, don't we? I wonder how that amount of time compares to the amount of time we spend idly flicking through the pages of God's Word. You know, it's challenging, isn't it? When we look at ourselves, we think, you know, I've got lots of downtime. And am I using that wisely for the Lord? Modern day psychology puts a lot of store in the role of pleasure in just directing human life, the things we do, the choices we make. Lucian Freud, all those many years ago, he called it the pleasure principle. This idea that humans will always go for the easy route, the pleasure, rather than the pain. They will always take the easy and avoid any kind of hardship, even if that hardship involves serving someone else along the way. These ideas have been so embedded in our culture and our minds that just we naturally do that too. We naturally avoid any kind of discomfort and we'll seek the easy path instead. The only reason that some people get out of bed and go to the work at all is so they can enjoy the rewards of their labours. Working hard today so I can play hard tomorrow. And whilst that might be worldly wisdom, it doesn't appear to be godly wisdom. The wisdom of Proverbs doesn't work hard just in order to kick back and get on the binge watch on Netflix. Her labours aren't simply to fund her 2 weeks fly and flop in the summer. In fact, we're told about her not told about her pursuit of pleasure at all. She's just diligent, busy, keeping working hard that she might be a blessing to other people, providing for others' needs. And even if she has a bit left over, she wants to use that to bless others with some extra food or whatever. And so what about us? What about me? If I manage to find a little bit of extra time this week, what's the focus there? Is it just going to be for me? Or can I think of some way, some scope to just give it away somehow? Give a bit of time to something else, to someone else. This woman works hard at her labours that she might be a blessing to many, putting in the work before it's time to rest. Thirdly then, commitment rather than keeping our options open. The final aspect of this woman's character is simply her commitment to the task. She's just so reliable. When she says yes to something, well, it's as good as already done. This lady means business. Not that she says yes to everyone and everything. No, she's not a pushover like that. She's being selective. But she makes her choices and then she sticks with them. That's the point. Look with me at verse 15. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family, portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. And then a bit further down, verse 18, she sees that her trading is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. And then verse 21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. You see, here is commitment. It's been done in several different ways, from getting up early to staying up late, like those American life coaches used to say, win the morning and you'll win the day. Heard that before? Well, here is someone who knows how to win the day. She gets up while it's still dark. She gets going right away. She gets straight into the day. As they say, you'll never change the world from under a duvet. And there's certainly something rewarding from an early start, isn't there? I know it's hard. You know, when you've already achieved a couple of useful things before breakfast, not least a bit of time just to focus on the day, just to sort of wake yourself up before the Lord, to read our Bibles, to pray, to look through the day ahead and see what's coming down the track. And of course, getting up when it's dark takes commitment. It takes the discipline of an alarm clock and then the will to get out of bed. Like many things in life, there's a choice to be made. And this lady is smart in other ways too, of course. She's investing in property while the time is right, adding a field and a vineyard to her portfolio. Wise choices, you see, spending what she has now, not for now, but for the future. Not to blow the lot on a night out in town. No, this is investments. Investing now for a greater return down the track. Another sign of discipline, of commitment. When we put off the instant reward for something much better down the track. She's wise in planning for the future because here is someone who knows what it's going to be like, the cold of winter. And when do you prepare for winter? Well, not in winter, back in the summer. Now, that's the time to get the blankets ready, to make sure we've got enough for when it gets cold. She cares for her family and provides for their needs. And so they're not going to suffer when the snow blows in. You see, making plans like that, looking ahead. Wisdom, God's wisdom. Wisdom from above. And what a contrast that is with the sort of person whose sole aim in life is to avoid any kind of commitment whatsoever. Whose life, entire life, is just about keeping their options open. I wonder if you know anyone like that, the sort of commitment phobe, who's sort of just always a maybe. You invite them to a party. Put me down as a maybe. You think they're up for a drink after work. You think you've got a little plan, but actually they get a better offer and they go off with someone else. They were a dead cert for the cinema, but there you are standing in the foyer and your phone goes ping, and they're not going to make it after all. Back in the UK when we left this time last year, this had just become the norm. Everyone was a maybe. Everyone avoided commitment. In our culture, people see their greatest freedom in keeping their options open all the time, averse to saying yes, whether that's with our time or our money or even our relationships. You know, marriage rates are at an all-time low right across the planet because people run away from the idea of commitment. They know, let's keep it a maybe. We'll have this relationship, but yeah, let's have a maybe, even though God says marriage is good. It's a good gift. It's God's good plan. But instead, people just prefer to keep their options open. You know, I'll not commit my time in case I get a better offer. I'll reply with a maybe because, well, I think, I just want to make sure I don't miss out on something better that comes along. Well, here's the thing. Why don't we respond wisely to those kind of invites when someone invites you to something? Just jump in with 2 feet. Yeah, I'm in. I'm there. You can count on me. See if it's not a better way to live. See if that doesn't bring more joy to you and those around you as you learn to live in a committed way. Move on from the maybes. Commitment for Christians, it's a wise way to live. And we can be completely countercultural in the process. So here in Proverbs is a woman who shows us a wise life. Good choices that become God's choices through service, through hard work, through commitment. A woman whose life and lifestyle really is the product of the choices that she makes. And when we find someone like that, don't we want to copy them, emulate them, say, look, I want to be like that person. They've got it sorted. They seem to know what they're doing. So secure in their relationship with God that it's not about them anymore. It's all about Him now. None other than the Lord Himself. Of course, that's where Jesus comes into this passage. You see, that's who she is pointing to in the end. He was one who was dedicated to costly service as God's king. He knew what it was to serve. Giving up his life, dying on a cross, that sin might be forgiven. Jesus knew firsthand what hard work looked like, getting up early, going to pray, sharing God's good news of rescue through his own death and resurrection. And when it came to the cross, Jesus wasn't a maybe. He was right there for you. His utter commitment to his Father. Not my will, but yours be done. As he came to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knew these things inside out, back to front, service, hard work, commitment. That was his life. And that is the life he invites us into as his friends and followers. The values of God's kingdom, the values of God's king. And in our day, doesn't that look so very different from this world in which we live? Let's be like those. Let's look for those people who live like this. The wise and the wonderful people that God has put around us in this church family and in our wider networks of Christian friends. Look at the choices that they make and choose wisely after them. Look for someone you know who sets that kind of Christ-like example. Every choice, a good choice. Every choice, a God choice. Whole life wisdom. As we live the whole of our lives for Christ. Let me pray for us this morning. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the challenge of your word. We read of this wisdom and we